Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is December 3rd. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm wonderful. I'm just hanging there.
It's not December
3rd. I'm raring and ready to go on this year review. This is a extended recording session. I'm glad I drank a giant Bixby before this.
Fantastic. And, West the Island
you know,
blend?
Hopefully, or who knows start? Where... West the Island blend, given where we are in the year in review.
That's what I figured.
And hopefully, we get to somewhere we want to get to today. Maybe through the Valero. Who
Up
knows?
To the Masters. We're going to try to get to the Masters.
Forever. We haven't even gotten to the first major of the year, and this is the fourth episode.
I think when we started this, we thought it was going to be like two parts in 2018 or three parts, and it was five or six, and now I don't know. We're pushing for shorter instead of the 2.5 hour episode, 1 hour, but a shorter segment. So let's start with the Players Championship. The year in review is brought to you by Precision Pro. The Players was just an absolute bonanza. Researching it back, it took me a couple hours just on the Players alone. Might have been the event of the year, so I'm pumped to jump into it. Thanks to Precision Pro Golf for sponsoring the year in review this year. I don't know if we would have done this undertaking. We might have just, again, stared at each other from across the rooms like, do we really want to dive in, do all this? Again, but Precision
Pro.
And
then our wives would have been really mad at us at Christmas time because we would have procrastinated all the way to the end of the year.
It would have been December 27th, and we're researching about Billy Boy throwing his baton in the air again. But Precision Pro gave us no choice. They sponsored it. They got us in.
This is a great Christmas gift for everybody. The NX9 is wonderful. Right now, you know, we have a code, Shotgun20. I don't know what their deal is with Cyber Week, but it might be $50 off, $55 off. Go to the website, buy it there. Don't go buy it on Amazon or something. You know, buy it on the website. They've got great customer support. The NX9 is a wonderful rangefinder. I had one, a different rangefinder, and they sent me that one. I like it more than the different rangefinder I had. I've used other rangefinders, you know, via people in my group and stuff. I like it more. It's light. That's a big thing with a rangefinder. It's actually very light. You don't know it, but it adds weight to your bag. It's light. Yep. It locks onto the pins wonderfully. And I'm a fan.
It's small enough to be a stocking stuffer, but I mean, if that's a stocking stuffer, you must be, you know, wiping your ass with $20 bills. But I would say, you know, it's a great gift either way. You can put it
for yourself, stocking stuffer.
You can put it under the tree. It's just a necessary gift to give somebody who, you know, it's an actual good golf gift, something that has utility. So thanks to Precision Pro for sponsoring us, sponsoring this all year, and sponsoring this year in review. All right, let's get to it. We are jumping to the gold standard, the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass. There was just a lot of drama about, you know, what happened the year before. There were these sort of revisionist narrative history about, you know, the tour, you know, deciding to cancel it and fold up. Of course, they were like the last one to do it, you know, that week in 2020, and the Chainsmokers concert happened, all this stuff. But it started with all this sort of, I don't know, narrative building into what happened in 2020. But also, most amusing for me, Players getting asked about changes to the 12th hole. A tradition unlike any other.
Did the tour tweet something the other day about the 12th hole?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is something else happening again?
No, it just was like, look at all the ways you can play the 12th hole.
So people didn't even know. I think Ben Everill of the PGAtour.com was asking these players, like, what? Did they change it? I haven't been out there. Another change? And it's just like an annual tradition. Every year, Players getting asked about changes to the 12th hole. You are delighted about it. There's always some nip, tuck, or overall massive, you know, overhaul being done to it. This one was another tee box allegedly put in to like keep pace of play moving the first 2 days. Sort of like a hit it up, wave them up sort of tee box from what I have my back reading of it is now 6 months later. These guys were like, really? They changed it again? Players just taken aback. Oh, by the way, by Sunday, JT's on fire. Just put in an absolute cooler on ice on the 12th tee. Has to wait 11 minutes to hit up after making eagle, I think, on 11 or birdie on 11. He's just sitting on ice on the 12th tee, which is what it was designed to do, you know, allegedly keep pace moving. All right, let's keep it going. Early in the week,
Yeah, my favorite part of the week early on was the internal out-of-bounds gate.
Oh, God, yes.
So oh, yeah. Bryson early in the week was asked questions about the 18th.
Sunday night at Bay Hill, right? After he won. He
talked about playing the 18th hole at TPC Sawgrass up the 9th fairway.
Across the lake.
Which immediately sent the PGA Tour setup crew and rules and competition committee into tizzy. They were looking at it and playing up. This is right after he drives, you know, over the pond at 6 of Bay Hill.
Right.
And they're talking about he's playing up the 9th because he says there's nowhere for me to hit driver. There's nowhere I could hit driver. So it makes sense. The way the green sits, it's a perfect angle in from over there.
Yeah.
It really would be a great play. It's similar to what we'll talk about in the future with the U.S. Sam at Oakmont, where playing down another fairway. But anyways, the tour then, late on Wednesday, deems that it's out of bounds, internal out of bounds, playing up 9. And Bryson is,
he's just says smirking.
That he's no longer going to share.
Yeah.
So he says, what was your reaction? So they had a conversation. Gary Young, the VP of Rules and Competition, had a conversation before announcing this. A private conversation with DeChambeau.
The thick boy.
So Bryson gets asked this during his press conference. What was your reaction when they told you about the internal OB on 18? He said, I understand it. I probably shouldn't have said anything. Knowing that now, I won't. Now I won't ever say any lines that I'm taking anymore. But that's okay. Of course, he's never going to say anything. I understand it. I've got no issues with it. I understand why. From a safety precaution reason. Totally get it. But I'm going to keep myself a little quiet next time for lines I'm going to try to obtain.
Go ahead.
So the other great thing was the tour sending the text out to players, reminding them that they're going to be shown live camera all
microphones.
Week. So essentially, be careful of what you say, because there's no way we could filter through all these messages of every shot.
Which,
live.
Of course, led to the great Sabatini getting hit into, that whole video that was tried, scrubbed, but I'm sure everybody has on their phone. Can I just say, also with the internal OB, my favorite part of that was the tour sending it, making their statement, and then being so sort of insecure, and they're so like legit reasons. They got grandstands there. You can't have Bryson hitting these, 280 mile an hour balls into this, right into this grandstand or this walkway area. So they announce it, and then at the end of their statement, they go, similar instances of internal out of bounds for safety purposes have occurred at the Open Championship in 2017, the 21 Sony Open Hawaii, and most recently the 2021 Arnold Palmer Invitational. Like, just like sack up and say it. Like, it was just weird that they had to provide cover and say, like, Liverpool, it happened there too, or wherever it was, 2017. It was just a weird, weird way they did it. Also, that's the Sahada line, according to Brently Ruma, the junior golfer who was doing it. That's known as the Sahada line, not the Bryson line. Other pre-tournament stuff, Jay Monahan was back on CNBC.
CNBC.
1 year after that, just one of the worst, most miscalculations, PR comms, and you'll see. The pandemic's raging and markets are in free fall. Only this time it's supposed to be his triumphant return. We were the return to golf. We got it done. We're back. We got some limited fans this weekend. Of course, Joe Kernan, I think it is, the host, said, Jay, like, this is great. I mean, I know you had some hardships, but how great is it to have two masters in 6 months? How unbelievable is that? And Jay just looks like he's seen a ghost, like, really? Like, well, it's great to have masters, but also we have the gold standard this week, you know? It's just, and we had somebody in like TV talk to us, like, the funny thing is, there were probably broadcast producers and comms guys who told that anchor, like, 10 ways to Sunday. Do not say that. This is not how it works. This Masters is not a tour event. First question. You've had some hardships, but how fantastic is it to have two Masters in 6 months?
That guy probably loves the Masters.
Of course he does. But I mean, it's Players Championship week and they got, oh, it was so good. Oh, also, we had a lot of fun with this. There was a Players Championship on the Sunshine Tour.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a lot of fun with that all week. The Real Players Championship. Congrats to Jaco Prinsloo on winning the 21-21 Players Sunday morning. We just had fun with that all week. The text was great. You're right. That just you're being watched and recorded this week. What else do we have? Oh, there's more pre-tournament boat content. They did a big feature video on the guy who takes his boat. Not the flower barge, but another guy. They've just milked the boat content dry over there. Another guy who goes up to the camera.
How about how the Flower Island almost got hit by your boy, Todd?
Todd Watch. Shank. Sunday Shank. Almost went to the Flower Island. Apparently Bryson shaved his arms. Kyle Porter had a tweet about this. Like, what happened here? Why are his arms smooth as a baby's bottom?
Do you have Rory admitting he was chasing speed?
Yeah. So he went out like 43. He's just terrible. Misses the cut. And what does he say?
He says probably the swing issues where it all stems from, probably like October last year, doing a little bit of speed training, trying to get sucked into all that stuff. Swing got flat, long, and too rotationally. Obviously, I added some speed. I'm hitting the ball further. You know, basically, he's like, I did this because of Bryson. So then Bryson was like a pig in shit.
Oh.
Rolling around. The next day he gets asked about
it. So happy. It's an honor.
I don't know if you heard what Rory said yesterday about he got into chasing distance because of what you've done. How does that make you feel? Bryson's response, you know, I appreciate it first off. The second comment I would have that I wasn't trying to influence anybody.
Oh, God.
I was just trying to play my own game and hit it as far as I possibly could. And I knew there was going to be an effect. I didn't know what I would be or would be affected by it. But again, golf is a weird game. This journey that I'm on is not taken lightly. I'm trying to figure out a bunch of different variables that you have to in order to hit it straight, hitting it really far. I knew that there would be some people that would try and some people that it would potentially not work for. And some people it may help. So I really don't know that. But I do appreciate Rory's comments. It's kind of a sentiment almost. It's something that keeps me going every day.
So happy. Just I can't. Rory, I remember this. He was debating whether to go there, right? And I forgot about this whole phenomenon. You remember after Wainfoot, Rory posted the speed, his numbers, speed, and DJ was posting his numbers, and all these guys.
Finau.
Yeah. I forgot about
done,
that.
We should have done all those tournaments, really. Yeah.
Q4 of 2020.
We shortchanged everybody by not doing the super season.
Q4.
Year review.
I forgot about that. But anyway.
We would have had to start in October.
God, it's so sad. Rory trying to be like Bryson and, you know, after Wainfoot.
Well, you know what also happened this week?
What's that?
Which is interesting given the last couple weeks is Rory was cited with Pete Cowan for the first time on the range.
Yeah, there's some interesting quotes about that. I have one in, I don't know, Match Play or something.
Yeah, Match Play, I think, is when official. It became official. Yeah.
This was great. Like, within an hour, Thursday morning, they're not going to finish by dark. Just unbelievable, perfect conditions. I know they had a little bigger field this year, 154. Like so close.
Like long days too. Yeah, at this
well,
time of year.
Daylight Pretty savings long. Hadn't taken effect till Sunday, which of course
but it's the same number of hours of sunlight.
Right. they needed that extra hour of sunlight. No, but like he comes on, like Tirico like opens the broadcast, like, well, there's gonna be no cut until Saturday. It's like Thursday afternoon. It's so clear. There were miles at sunset. Like the last group was on like 12. It was ridiculous. Oh, that's one other thing. Monahan, so they had 154 players. He had some quote about how in his pre-tournament press conference, they're like, well, in my opinion, we have 154. There are 154 superstars out here that fans want to see this week.
Kelly Kraft.
Like, and we just, I mean, given all that happened in the intervening months with Pip and W, no cut, more money, money is going to go to the top 10. Like, that quote about there are 154 superstars out here that everyone wants, and they want to see them all, was just a great one. There's no more angles, more. You know, support for your angles contention. Xander, this is Pete Dye. Hitting towards trouble sounds weird, but you want to be more aggressive on certain shots here, because if you bail on the obvious side, you'll have a tougher time ahead. Patrick Cantlay said the same thing. Two great young players, Andy. Xander and Patrick Cantlay said, you know, he's like, you want to hug the trouble sometimes. You have to ignore the big flashy trouble and hug it. Because the worst side will be the bailout side. And once you bail out in the wrong, the fat side, the trouble starts mounting going into the green. Talking about,
amazing,
you know, going up 14, right? That? The flash, the water up the left side. So a lot of the good, another good week for angles. There was a good run for angles here in Q1. You got anything else you want to throw in there?
Yeah, I from the lead up, I don't have anything else in the lead up.
Okay.
Do you want to get into the play?
Sure.
I mean, other than like Hideki being wronged out of a title.
Oh, sure. What other fun thing? This was maybe the hardest I laughed because I totally forgot about this. So they did a zoom in on the Slovakia flag. You know, they put all the country flags up there on the driveway. Flag. Yeah. And so this is great. They, you know, catering to the Slovakian. And someone responds, Skip Muldoon. I'm also loving the Space Force flag they put on the clubhouse, paying tribute to our vets that bravely served in intergalactic conflicts. So you know how they always have the military day there? I guess they had a giant Space Force flag draped over the clubhouse, the TPC Sawgrass. I just totally forgot. Marines, Army, Navy, and the Space Force, you know, getting some representation at the TPC Sawgrass. I have nothing else on lead up. So what else you got?
What else do I have? I got some stuff here. Let's talk about the text out and the Morikawa and Spieth. That's the
Morikawa Spieth thing. All right.
Yes.
So BFP, this is my Sabatini. You gotta watch it. This is basically like, it's hard to capture in podcast form. My favorite part was,
well, it's scrubbed from the back half of it. Scrubbed from the internet.
We've got it. Maybe we'll post it this week just as a refresher. But yeah, that got nuked
from the tour
quickly. Every shot live. These are the deal with the devil they did with every shot live. They got to send out DMCAs. And I overlooked in that is that Sabatini's in an Exelon era Furyk button down. Straight up button down. I totally forgot about that. I mean, so Spieth hits into him. You know, they don't see it. Morikawa
yells four right.
Yeah, because they thought it was fans.
Yeah, and then they were like, then they talk about how they didn't. I couldn't see him there.
He goes, "There's another look for you, Greller." Because there's another look for you.
Well, and then Spieth goes,
"Hopefully,
is that Sabatini?"
He goes, "Oh God."
Oh, God. I couldn't pick a worse person to hit into.
Because I'm actually the one few people he likes, right?
Yeah.
Then mid-swing, he goes, hopefully he hits a good one. Nope. As it's like dive bombing hard left. Hopefully he hits a good nope. As it goes way off. He goes, well, there's another look for you, Greller. Just so many good lines in that. And then it sort of devolves into weirdness about Sabatini and Morikawa's girlfriend.
How creepy he is.
Not good. I'm actually the one who likes Is that Sabatini? All time.
One of the best FOMAs.
All time.
Of the year.
Video. Jonathan Vegas, we started calling the Sandy Lyle of Sawgrass because he's in a player's hat. Just says the players on it all 4 days. It's the Sandy Lyle Sawgrass. That's several people
completely forgot about
that. Alerted us to that. Ben Ahn made an 11 on 17, nearly matching Bob Tway. And I think he made a 6 on 18. I think he played
on Thursday. The everybody was hitting in the water on 17 because the green was firm and it was firmer than all the other greens because it was new because remember they had to like rebuild part of it.
JT so had sort of a complaint about that.
Yeah, JT was complaining about the inconsistency of 17th green. It's like, this is golf. Why does every green have to be consistent?
He was he had some real issues with the firmness not being uniform throughout. So did Bryson. He goes, he had a quote. It said something about firmness, huh? He goes, wow, nice green softness there. Players championship, huh? As if, I don't know, the players should be setting up exactly how it should be. I don't know. He said it was too soft, I think. There was amusement about Bryson being announced as an 8-time tour winner and not the reigning U.S. Open champion on the first tee. Another one of my favorite things, maybe the dumbest activation of the year. Bryson had that lion on his hat, on his dopey hat, like the Hogan cap. And like, what does that mean? It was supposed to mean like the serpentine logic, the roars for 17 were back. And that's why they put a lion on his hat, because a lion also roars. Puma just looks for anything to make some sort of new fangled activation. Another thing I loved first couple days, they put Louie and Westy together. With Big Shot Bob trying to consolidate the brown there, so they can't break contain.
And Public Enemy number one, Big Shot Bob.
Not member Big Shot Bob.
Well, Westy broke contain.
Westy broke contain. He really
for a second week in a row, Westy broke contain.
He definitely did. Last one more bit. Bryson, I can't do so much on him every week, but this was the week we were introduced. To his chew rate, where he said, people were talking about how he thinned down. And Sean Zach again had a quote that he was talking to his dietitian and working on his chew rate to I don't know, make his protein consumption more effective or his gut health better. I don't know what it was, but the chew rate was a term we were introduced to. The town crier term goes mainstream as our boy.
This was one of the highlights of my year.
Perksy. I mean, I think the highlight of my year before was Rich Lerner on Golf Channel saying they're calling him the Prince of Pontevedra these days. And I think 2021 was this one. The town crier making his proclamations, the local. This is, he makes it the PGA Tour Live at the freaking gold standard, town crier. There was some drama about if they soaked the greens. Tron was tweeting angrily about this because it was so firm on Thursday. Yeah. Did they soak them overnight? Players
well,
are pissed.
The greens became really soft, and then the approaches were really soft, and the greens were firm.
That was by the weekend, so you couldn't run it on, right? But then you had to fly it into these firm greens. Yeah. All right. What else do we have here? Jay Monahan then joins the booth. I think it's Tirico on the weekend. And he walks right into this line that, of course, we moved to the edge of their couch for. He goes, to have the U.S. Open and the Masters in the fall, to have this be the third. Where are you going? What's he going to say? Or is he going to try to say it's a major? The third of a big event in our season of championships, a super season. If you will. That was a real moment of drama where he said, U.S. Open, Masters in the fall, to have this be the third, a quote, big event of the season of championships was fantastic. Westy, should we do Westy? Saturday. Sure. He's in 32.
Everybody.
Takes a solo.
Everybody, I'll never forget the putt on 17.
Birdie, right?
Yeah. Everybody was on Westy's side on the internet.
Yeah. They were loving it.
Everybody was so pumped.
Yep.
It was, God. I thought about driving up that day.
Yeah, I remember that.
I reached out about a credential. They were going to give me like a pass to go watch, but then I kind of was, it was still early COVID. I was a little worried with our baby.
Yeah, sure.
So I didn't go. And I'm kind of happy given what happened. But Saturday, back nine might have been Westy's magnum opus.
Yeah, it really was. I think in at 32, right? Yeah. I think it was. So it's Bryson and Westy again in the final group. Justin
and he birdies one. He comes out and birdies one.
Justin Ray had some nugget about how it was like back-to-back weeks final pairing. I don't think it happened in 10 years where it was Westy and Bryson again. So this is, I mean, and we do this Instagram live Sunday, we do our worst case scenario and you're like, you know, JT chasing down Westy doing his Westy Sunday routine while JT, you know, wins. And that's precisely what happened. It's the first time in 10 years, back-to-back pairing. Should we start with the questionable Jopp on two, Westy, the crucible? What?
No, let's start with the birdie on one, okay. The great birdie on one. Why do we have to go back to the questionable drop?
Oh, that was a massive deal. His ball goes in the hazard, and all of a sudden...
Everybody said that's where he should drop. The official, the volunteer...
That was so sketchy. It was a bad drop.
Everybody said that's where he should drop.
It was a Sun Kane situation.
He couldn't see. He couldn't see. He asked people and dropped where they told him to.
He had to be way back. The first like hour plus of this you know final group getting off was just a delightful train wreck. I mean, you had the Todd Schenk.
Four
is an all Todd Schenk. This is like within 30 minutes. Todd almost hits it to the Flower Island. Westy takes that bogus drop on two.
It wasn't a bogus drop.
Bryson tops one off the tee on four. The ball speed was like 152. They had the tracer on it. And it just goes right into it.
And you're thinking, he tops it and you're like, oh, this is great for Westy. And Westy might have hit a worse shot.
Westy, like...
It was like a pop-up to the right.
Way right
in
the hazard.
He was hitting the right poof ball all day long. He was saying his legs were gone. He played horrible.
His legs were gone. I forgot about that. I didn't get that. I thought, you know, his season was never the same after that drop on two. Right?
Oh.
But yes, so Bryson tops it off four. I forget what the quote was. Something about, he was looking at his driver, like the driver is cracked or something. So he drops on the forward tee box and just like hits like a nuke like into the woods, like way right. Do you remember that? Like his second shot, it was just catastrophe.
It was horrible.
Every shot was bad for about 20 minutes. But the top was a great one.
And then JT, I think JT hit all nine greens on the front nine and he didn't
missed
make anything.
Every putt.
He might have been one over, if I remember correctly, on the front.
That
like he was hitting it so close and so good, and you just knew going into the back nine, you knew it was over.
I mean, he gained like he was on the wrong side of the cut line at like 27 holes, and he gained like 10 strokes. It was just a ridiculous each day on the weekend, tee to green, ridiculous round of golf. But I don't know that it necessarily unlocked anything for him for the rest of the year. He is chasing the career Lup Slam, which was a big deal for us. We were, you know, not the calendar Lup Slam like Rory, but the career Lup Slam of a WGC, a players, a regular tour event, and a FedEx Cup. Azinger was just like a dog pressure. With a bone on Doug Gim and pressure talk. Just absolute, because Gim was bad. I think he played with JT.
78. He shot 78.
And he was bad. It like really imploded on five or six.
Faraday had a all-time quote.
Yeah. What was it?
He like, said, experience is what you get when you don't get what you want.
Yeah, that's true. It was a good quote. Meanwhile,
he's got a lot of experience.
Azinger just pouncing on him about pressure.
Pressure.
He was asked about the Ryder Cup.
The pressure cooker.
Gim. He goes, yeah, I don't know if you noticed. I'm like 257th in the world, was his answer to this question that was paragraph long about the Ryder Cup, which I appreciated. That was Saturday night. so
Louis Oosthuizen gave away his driver Sunday during the round.
Middle of the round. Only Oosty. Apathetic Oosty hands his driver to a fan in the middle of a round. The players. When there's like
he made eagle on 16. He had three wood, three wood.
That's right. I forgot about that. When every hole is like the six-figure opportunity, he just gives his driver away in the middle of the round. JT did that low hook thing that people got really into.
Oh, he got
about.
The luckiest bounce 16, ever on 18.
And then 18, it ran out like 70 yards and
18
sliver.
Was an insanely lucky bounce.
Yeah. Yeah. Shot forward. Yeah. 62
shot
yards.
Shot right. It shot
yeah,
right.
That's
the
true.
Snap hook shot right and forward.
Yeah.
That ball should have been out into the water. We should just give Westy this title.
So I mean, the one on 16 was amazing, though. We don't need to go bubble, but that was a low hook, and then he hit his yes. like whatever, threw it to like 8 feet. It was crazy for an eagle. You were dubbed the finish, the audit. That 16 to 18.
I forgot about that
because of whatever. Grant Thornton, is that the one? This is yeah. the audit.
The closing
green
stretch,
mile.
The audit.
They try to dabble with the redemption narrative about JT. You know, he's had such a bad year, everything he's been through, some of it was through and some of it was his own doing. Obviously, it had been an awful year for him with the slur at Kapalua, his grandfather passing away, the Tiger crash, just been a bad year. And this was, you know, kind of his first real pop. Jimmy Johnson, this was a great one. Caught on video looking at the tie table and scoring where the payouts of whatever my 10% is. Do you remember this viral video? Mm-hmm. He's looking at it and like the overhead camera, and he's like, does this like, you know, holy with his mouth. So that was a good one. That went late, viral late.
Too bad there's not a tie table and a 10% for the FedEx Cup.
That's true. And now it's on to Bonesy. I don't have anything else from Players Championship. It's real bonanza. I know we just spent like 30 minutes, but that was a really fun event, especially that Sunday.
Yeah, that's all I have.
All right.
Just Bryson.
What?
Bryson melting down was.
Yeah, I mean, he was bad. Westy wasn't good, but Bryson was super bad.
And Westy making the putt, as we talked about in the last one. He makes the 20-footer on, or 12 to 20 footer on 18 for solo second.
You made like $700,000 on
make
that putt.
Make anything all day. He just like rolls it in, and you're like, okay.
That's right.
Second, and then he had a tweet. He had a tweet that was like, I've never made so much money in my career in back-to-back events, and I didn't win.
Yeah. He made like $2.5 or $2.1 million or something like that. So, all right. That's it. Great Players Championship. Westy, we didn't hear much from the rest of the year. So, are you up or am I up? Is this the Honda?
I'm up. Honda. There's not much here.
Yeah, this should take 10 seconds. The Aussies won't be happy, but I remember this being just a non-event.
JT's Players Championship ad ran this week.
Oh my god. Already?
Yeah.
Jesus. Terrible.
NLU had a tweet that was like, we only have to see that for 51 more weeks.
And we have.
Oral Bob started their run in the NCAA tournament.
We called it. We had the Bill Glass and Oral Bob Flashback Friday.
Yeah.
And then they go nuts.
It's a great high times for Oral Bob on the spot. The Bears signed Andy Dalton after weeks, if not months, of Russell Wilson rumors.
I
said in a text that it was the low point in the franchise.
That's good. That's great.
Three players test for positive for COVID. Gary Woodland, Scott Piercy, and Redman. Obviously, this was still a thing going on.
Yeah. Willett, by the way, Willett tested positive at the Players.
Day
after Helen was shared some Instagram story of them
of
all
them
like partying
with
together.
The Willis.
Yeah. Westy could have met, was the could have been the Players that never was, but apparently
yeah,
he got away.
Well, his legs went. That was something I always thought about. Was like,
Willett, maybe in fact.
No, Westy maybe was asymptomatic at that point. Cause, or like very light signs because he talked about how tired he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, maybe that's what it was.
I think you're reaching for explanations for your guy.
Wessie played this Honda, and everybody thought, because he played...
He's so know, dead.
He shot like 80, 178 or something.
The old war horse hobbling across.
He was just done. But he like, I think he went to Augusta with Sam the days
Monday.
Before this.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a field, absolute abomination. Just a dark stain on the event. The six of the top 50 in the world were in the field. So just that was the kind of the story of the event.
Yeah, it's not a good event. Matt Jones won. I remember it because of that, like, because it was so unnotable. Matt Jones won.
Yeah, Matt Jones won. He shot 61 on Thursday, kind of came back to the field. Aaron Wise shot 64-64, and he was up like 7.
Oh,
40
yeah.
holes into the fed. Ended up shooting 75-75. I remember on Saturday seeing Wise was up so much and like turning the TV off, like, oh, I guess I don't have to really watch.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, he finished 13th. He was 7 shots up after 40 holes and finished 13th. Matt Jones ends up winning by 5. So Jones shot 68. And nobody else in the final 7 groups shot under par. Now, the most amazing thing about Jones's final round was he did it playing with the pace car, who everybody
I forgot about that.
All over.
And isn't the pace Jones of play, notoriously fast?
Yeah, there's like insane. There were all these clips of Jones hitting shots within 10 seconds. Like, so fast, and he's playing with the pace car. It was an incredible juxtaposition. People were going insane on Twitter about JB Holmes. Eric Patterson, love when JB Holmes finds a way in the final pairing. People absolutely roast him for slow play, and I'm here for it. So here's some of the roasting. All right, Ewan Murray. He tweeted something about the final round of the Masters. That was 3 weeks from tonight. That came around quickly, was the original tweet, and he quote tweeted it. He said, "It is possible JB Holmes will have finished his final round at the Honda by then." Michael McEwen, the Earth's tectonic plates move by around 5 centimeters per year. That's still faster than JB Holmes plays golf. Amanda Rose, Matt Jones deserves some sort of Nobel Prize after spending the last 17 years of his life waiting to finish the back nine with JB Holmes. No leg up. Every time they cut to JB Holmes, a different announcer roasts his pace of play. Absolutely love it. Running out of ways to say it.
I forgot they were paired together.
Amanda Rose again. Matt Jones can play an entire round of golf in the time it takes JB Holmes to pull the trigger.
There really was nothing going on in this event. There's nothing. Yeah. Absolutely. The field was awful. Now they're back. Awful. They're back to an earlier time slot.
So Jones said something. He said, I was hitting it pretty good on Tuesday, Wednesday, and I said, if somebody beats me this week, they've cheated.
Whoa.
He said that after his victory. Like, he knew going like that. The week how good he was. He didn't really do much the rest of the year.
Vaguely remember that.
Off-topic tweet. We just started with some off-topic tweets. Here's another one. Republican Jim Justice. This was, I found it because of a Bardwell tweet. Republican Jim Justice. Republican Governor Jim Justice wants to cut income taxes in West Virginia in a bid to attract more people and potentially add an amusement park to help reverse the state's population decline. An amusement park?
I forgot about this. The military tribute to
add amusement park, and that's going to get people to move to your state.
Population decline. Well,
I'm moving to West Virginia because they have an amusement park. Like, now, income taxes, maybe. Yeah. That could work, but an amusement park?
Big Jim Justice. We miss him on tour. Handing out bills.
Brooksy announces the right knee surgery. Okay. Beth Ann Nichols' piece on women's golf and setups. hold the sport back release this week and was like the talk of the week.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it at all. She said that the problem with women's golf is that the scores aren't low enough,
right.
But and that they should be hitting wedge into every green like the men.
Yeah.
Don't agree with that. I think that we should probably have variety.
Make the men in the clubs more like the women.
Like, the men are probably the you know aspect of golf that doesn't resemble the sport at all.
Yeah.
Let's see. Magical Kenya Open.
Oh God.
Broadcast snafu.
Oh, the cameras didn't get there on time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Logistical issues.
They didn't have cameras.
So it had the telecast that didn't happen.
Oh, that's right.
I think you tweeted, "I was promised Magical Kenya Open coverage."
That was like they had back-to-back events in Kenya. A Tuesday start for the Savannah Classic the following week. Danny Van Tonder, I believe.
Justin Harding
that's
won
right.
this one.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Brandel Champlain joins forces with Augustine Pisa.
You're really trying to squeeze blood from a stone on this week. Not a lot happened.
to create a golf architecture firm, which is interesting since he called all golf architecture fans nerds, and he's been on a quest to tell the world all the things golf architecture gets wrong. And he also gave Pisa a plug on Golf Channel the week before without disclosing that he was partnering with him.
How about that? I forgot about this.
Two other things. Last two. Pinehurst debuts like a logo with the little putter boy under the cradle.
First day of spring thing or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pasta Tiempo called him out because the logo is essentially a ripoff of Pasta Tiempo's.
Back and forth. Yeah. God. These social media managers at golf courses, like going to the mattresses. I forgot about that.
That was particularly amusing.
It was.
Final one. PGA Tour Champions announced that it was giving a new format a try.
Oh, is that
starting? I think it was supposed to start this November. I think it kind of got buried and pushed back a year.
Okay.
They must not have sold a sponsor.
Is this that World Challenge?
World Champions Cup. A 3-day event featuring 9-hole matches among 3 teams. The teams Team USA, Team Europe, and Team World to be captained by Furyk, Clark, and Els. I looked this up. It was supposed to be this year, I believe, and then it got kicked back to 2022 now. Must have been because of travel costs, like the U.S. Senior Open.
Yeah. That went to the PIP. They carved that out as
I know. That's what I was
redirected
what happened.
To the PIP fund or whatever else. All right. Is that do it for Onda?
That's it. I'm sorry.
No, it was terrible, dude. You can't you did more than you wanted. We needed to. I feel like we debated what the best Honda was that week because we had nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we did talk about that. I almost put that in there, but.
All right, WGC.
What was our answer to the CRV? No, the
pilot.
I'm a pilot. It's got to be the pilot, right?
The pilot. Not that we need to go back down this well, but I'm happy to.
It has to be the
want.
Pilot.
I think it's the pilot. All right, the WGC match play at Austin.
I was supposed to do the Corrales Putacana. I didn't do anything. Joel Damon won.
All right, we'll do that. We can talk about it for 10 seconds. QB1 tweet from the Bears. I swear this was just catnip for engagement with the red rifle on it, and it got the engagement. The QB1, Andy Dalton. That was a big deal that week. This is also Bryson NFT gate this week.
Yes.
Just so
this
sketchy.
This is amazing.
Of course, this is the thing, like the NBA Top Shot's taking off. People are reading about NFTs, and he does some Twitter videos like, guys, NFTs are taking over right now. Everybody's into NFTs. They're the rage. It's like, so we can't, my fans need NFTs. We'll be releasing these. And he had teased it like, we've got a big announcement at 3, and this was the announcement. Of course, it is super sketchy. There's very limited demand. Eric Patterson, the score, is all over this. He was into NFTs. He kind of understood the whole business. He goes, there's shady stuff. They released him a couple days later after this tease. I think it was the video was like, NFTs are killing it right now, and we are going to do some. Of course, he's deleted this video. He like scrubbed the video as soon as it showed showed up that demand was going to be sort of tepid. The video announcing this has been scrubbed. It was deleted like that week. So Eric Patterson was monitoring it. He goes, shady stuff going on. Three have sold that only had one offer on them, and the bidding was supposed to end in approximately 5 hours, but sales were pushed through anyways. Offers should or can be canceled at any time before bidding closes. One buyer was considering canceling before the 10 p.m. deadline. They're not pleased. They don't know what to do. He accepted offers that had very little traction to guarantee a sale because the bid could not be canceled. The other NFTs with offers, there are only four of them, have yet to be sold. 66 other NFTs have zero offers or have not reached the minimum bid. The art, according to Patterson, was bad. It's just underwhelming. I'm not an artist, a connoisseur, and certainly not an NFT. It was just not great. There was a one of one that was listed for 48K, I think, was the min. But it came with like a meet and greet and clubs and Bose apparel or Bose accessories, things like that. But as Eric pointed out, like, it's immediately less valuable than when you purchase it because the next time you can't sell it with the meet and greet and all that other bullshit. So it's like, it's just future buyers don't get the same perks. It's less valuable in theory. So it's just a disaster. No one bids on him. They delete the video of him announcing it. There's potentially shady stuff happening. Following less than stellar turnout, his agent, Brett Falkoff, talks to Brian Wacker. He blamed the poor performance on golf being, quote, a niche sport. And so this is clearly they were just, it was so shitty. The guy's like trying to push through sales to make like $2,000, you know, when he's making obscene amounts of money. And presumably it was some of these TikTok guys that were around him. So this was big this week. Also at the match play, this is semi-serious. Spieth, disclosure, said he had a hand injury. He goes, I didn't think there was a huge deal with it. I taped it up. If I taped it up, I didn't feel so bad. So this played right into your duct tape theme. Literally said he would taped up. He was taped up his hand. I didn't feel so bad. I went out each day trying to play my best golf. So like that was something we never heard about during his drought, you know, the 3-4 year drought. But we were just amused because of the tape. It worked perfectly with your duct tape analogy. At the match play, Rory manages to find water on a hole with no water. He hits in a pool in someone's backyard. I don't know if you remember this. The hard left hook. He hits in a backyard pool. People got their jokes off on that. This was, of course, when I think he was seen with Pete Cowan. This became like a big deal. And what was the quote?
I think he talked about it, right?
Yeah, Cowan, I actually tweeted it out tonight. I retweeted it. Cowan had some like ominous tweet about how you need to not look back. You need to only look forward. The future is not in the past, which like basically Rory is saying the diametric opposite of now, right? It's like the opposite. It's like I need to look back at who I was, right? And understand who I was. And it's the complete opposite of what Cowan was preaching at that point. What else happened? Baton Boy really takes off here. This becomes... just he wins. Oh,
he makes this big run, but and it's just batons
he's
everywhere.
He's throwing shit everywhere. Yeah. Bryson hit one. I don't know if you remember this. So it was a big scramble to figure out what happened. He hit one like...
Wasn't he launching it over the fence there?
Well, yeah, he was hitting it over the driving range fence, almost hit Bubba on the green. That was on-site intel. A data boy on-site intel, I think. But he had one drive that went 42 yards to the right, unknown, and it clipped a tree and it like drops in this putting green. There's a scramble and no one could find video. He called it, and there was that we found a fan video later. Porter tweeted it. I'll share it again. Just like it's like this ball, and you're like caddy, and all of a sudden it comes back to you on the tee. He said it was the most interesting scenario I've ever had in the game of golf, which seems like hyperbole. He goes, I almost hit it past the ladies' tees. How about that? So that, like, you know, fortunately for him, it was match play. So he just, whatever. I think he was playing Siwoo Kim. But it was like the shot tracer. No one could figure out what happened. It's 42 yards. He clipped a tree off the tee. What else did he say? Oh, Bubba. Bubba just absolutely buried Patrick Reed out of nowhere. He goes, on the first tee, Patrick Reed asked me, this is a Daniel Rappaport tweet. On the first tee, Patrick Reed asked me if we're still going to be friends after this. I was like, are we friends? Just Bubba, absolutely throwing Patrick Reed under the bus. John Rahm flips off a boat, and the tour just absolutely, tour and his agent go to work scrubbing this off the internet. I think it's Saturday night. Somebody was shouting something from a boat. He like is all pissed off about a bad shot, and he just does this very clear finger to the river, the boat traffic on the river, and everybody, you know, everybody tweets it and shares it, and it goes, gets all his hits, and that
forgot
gets
about
DMCA'd
that
into the ether.
That's the problem, is so many of the videos are just gone.
Yeah. So what else happens in this one? The final match is just a complete mess. So Billy Boy to win, he goes through Streelman, Fleetwood, Victor Perez, and Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler, by the way, beat John Rahm.
Yeah.
And this was like a precursor. I didn't realize this. You know, Ryder Cup, we talk about how he beat Rahm, but I didn't realize he'd done it in Austin. Also, Sergio has a walk-off ace to send Westy home. Do you remember that on a playoff? Mm-hmm. Holes out to send Westy home.
It was good. Send the whole war horse.
So home. Billy Boy rips through the Streelman group, and they're so, talk about having no legs. There's not a birdie putt made in the final match. Do you remember this?
Awful. It's windy. Horrendous match.
It's Scheffler. It just,
we had to watch it.
It was really long. Billy Boy says, I feel sorry for fans watching the coverage, talking about the quality of the match. And it took forever. Monty got angry about the pace of play. It was just bad. No birdies. And at one point, he says, all four have their yardage books out. They've played the hole with practice 9 times this week. He stood there for 2 minutes doing nothing. Slow play needs to be penalized. What else happened? There were just rulings and drops everywhere. You know, people hitting it into TIOs on 15. The backboard on 13 was a mess. Remember the backboard? Everybody hits it towards the green. And they're just slamming it off the green. Oh, Bobby McIntyre hit it 371 yards to 2 feet, and there was no video of it. People got worked up about that for a tap-in eagle. What else? Oh, Paul Casey went off on a fan. I don't know if you remember this. Mark Fulcher was his caddy that week. And he was like, somebody was chirping him from up above. And he like backs off his balls. He goes, shut it, or we're going to send you out of here. Like his viral video. People angry at Paul Casey, or Casey angry at fans.
Showing his true colors.
What else happened this week? Oh, the legend of Motormouth Billy was born. I don't know. We must have gotten some intel from a player who plays with them about how he's a motormouth. Yeah, it's impossible to play matches. Good shot there, bud. Good shot. How about that? Yeah. And it's like hard to play.
I remember that.
Play with them.
I was just chatting with somebody.
They call him Motormouth.
I was chatting
Billy.
With a player, and I asked the player who his least favorite player to play with was. And he said, oh, without a doubt, Billy Horschel. He never shuts the fuck up.
Oh,
good shot, bud.
Dylan Fratelli was a 64 seed, last guy in. And he's just all amped up about it. He goes, there's no way. If you check the betting odds, if those guys were doing their homework, I would figure they'd put me in the top half. Just having the sort of experience, hometown, sleeping in my own bed. Will Gray came in. He goes, they did not put him in the top half. He was 150 to 1, the 64th guy in the field, and he was priced ahead of only 3 other players. But Fratelli thought he should be priced in the top half on the market because he was sleeping in his own bed for some reason. What else happens? Scheffler, I already said, beat up on Rahm. Oh, last Bryson bit. He released that video. This was after the NFT embarrassment of like the really weird stuff of him lifting in his garage. All those guys screaming at him in his face. And he runs into the garage with his US Open trophy. This was like just a complete mess. And then, of course, we had Na DJ, right? So Kevin Na calls him down, summons him down. This was after not WD'd at the Players. He made like a 7 on 17 and WD'd at the Players, walked off after 18. But DJ, he scoops, he brings DJ down, puts his hand on his shoulders, like, I didn't concede that, you know, 6-inch putt to you. But they call it like good, good. The ruling's still hard to interpret it. Like, they have the hole with pars, but it's a big scene, right? And then he wins like 3 out of 4 next holes. He's walking in putts, dancing on the number one player in the world. It was kind of a shitty move, like a showboat move. Like, just talk about it and quiet up on the tee, right? Next hole. But he calls him down, puts his hand on his shoulder.
Said, hey,
yeah,
hey.
It was just like, it was unnecessary for Nah. That was like the scene of the week. What else happened? Michelle Wee returns at the Kia Classic and asks for relief from a fountain. The geyser shooting up in the air and needs relief from that. What else? Imbie Park, true living legend, wins. She wins the Kia Classic. Rory announced he's with Pete Cowan. Already mentioned that. Oh, Faxon says BK, Brooks Koepka, might be out 6 to 8 months. That turns out to be not accurate. Last but not least, Tiger announces he's partnering with PGA Tour 2K for a video game on the same day that the PGA Tour announced that they were doing an EA Sports game. It's kind of like this, definitely some, I don't know, pissing match of some sort. So, all right, I think that's it for WGC Match Play. Billy Boy gets on his run and wins it.
Billy, this is the start of his Ryder Cup campaign that he later gets mad that he doesn't get a call.
That's
right. Sounds like you got stuff. Are we doing Valero?
I don't know. Let's do Valero another time. I got a kid up. It's midnight here, and a kid is crying. My wife does not look happy. We'll start next year in review segment with Valero and the Masters.
It's never going to end.
Valero and the Masters. Thanks for your patronage, support. The podcast at precisionprogolf.com. The year review rolls on through December.
You can still order merch too. You just don't get the discount, but you can still order
Christmas.
Merch for Christmas.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
All right. Talk to you next week.